This interview just became a little bit more interesting and odd because we all know what the 800-pound gorilla in the room is, but when you're a member of an organization and something hasn't been made official by said organization, apparently you're not allowed to speak about it. So we bring on the vice president of player personnel for the Utah Jazz, Walt Perrin, and we'll just dance around that 800-pound gorilla. How's that sound, Walt?
I guess that sounds all right.
there's no sense in not, you know, in talking about something that probably isn't going to happen at this point in time. So did your job become a little easier in the last hour for tomorrow or just about the same?
About the same. I mean, we're still in discussions about the players at our picks, wherever we are in the draft.
Sure. Well, and that's not to say that you couldn't still be in other places in the draft, because as we know, everything is moving parts and things of that nature. So assuming we'll just talk about some second round stuff, when you guys are looking at guys that are first round, say around number 12 versus where you're looking in that second round, do your expectations of what you're bringing in change at all? Or when you draft a guy, do you draft them with the expectation that they're going to make the team?
Well, there's a couple of scenarios we kind of look at. We look at the best available player that could possibly make our team at that particular pick in the draft. And also with second round, we take into consideration how many roster spots we have. Is there a possibility of taking a player and either keeping him over in Europe for another year or two, or taking a player where we can send to Europe for a year or two also? So, and then the other opportunity we have is, do we trade the pick for, as we say, move it out a couple years or a year or two, whatever it may be, and get another asset or another second round pick for the second round pick we trade?
You guys have had good success with second round picks over the years. Most notably, probably Paul Millsap might be as successful a second round pick as you guys have had. Is the second round this year, as you've looked at it, and especially where you guys are drafting, is there some talent there? Are there guys in that round that you could see being impact guys?
Well, we also had success with Mo Williams, who happened to won a
exactly.
NBA title, too. So, matter of fact, both of them are at the same pick at 47. We think that this year, because of the commonality in terms of players from about 30 to about maybe 60 or 70, we still think we can get a good player at 42 that might be able to help us, either with our team or, again, as I talked about, maybe stashing for a year or two and bring him back over. And at that time, he's gotten to be a better player, and we'll probably have a better shot at making our roster.
How much is the fact that the D-League team is going to be here in town, how much is that going to help you guys from an evaluation and movability standpoint with guys?
It's going to help us tremendously because we are able to either draft a guy and maybe cut him, and then he becomes an affiliate for our D-League team. We got an opportunity to keep an eye on him. We got an opportunity to have hands-on availability with him. So it's going to help us tremendously, I think, having the guy here having our team here in Salt Lake. I mean, it also gives us the opportunity that anybody on our roster, we can send to the D League one day, bring him back up to the NBA team the next day, maybe send him back to the D League team, in two or three days, because it's just really a paper transaction and there's no travel involved. The player can stay in his, wherever he's staying for the D-League, he can stay there for the NBA team, the Jazz.
Walt Perrin with us, Vice President of Player Personnel for the Utah Jazz. The Jazz have made some moves today, but Walt's not at liberty to discuss said moves at this point in time because it's not been made official yet. Is the D-League where it needs to be yet, or is that still a growing and evolving thing? I know for the longest time, the NBA struggled to have a developmental league. Is it to the point now where you guys feel pretty good about where it is, or where does it need to get to be better?
Well, for it to be really effective for the whole NBA league, is that every team is going to have a D-League team. And I think there's still I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 teams that don't have D-League teams, although there are some teams that are starting up D-League teams this year. So once every team has their own D-League team, then it becomes a very viable option for every NBA team to be able to utilize the D-League team. Right now, those teams that don't have D-League teams, their players get assigned to one of the D-League teams in the league, but they don't have much control over how well their player is going to be developed with that D-League team, whether or not the system that is being run by the D-League team they get assigned to is very similar to or just like the team, the NBA team. So, you know, I would think that within the next maybe 3 to 5 years, hopefully every NBA team will have a D-League team, and then, it would be a great boon again to the whole NBA.
Walt, clearly the thing that everybody's going to watch with your team this summer and training camp and then early in the season is Dante Exum. And I know when you guys drafted him a couple of years ago, you drafted him with franchise point guard in mind. You don't take a guy that high and not hope that he's not a franchise player. We saw some really nice things from him at the end of his rookie year, and then obviously missing last year certainly hurts his development a little bit. But based on what you know about where Dante is, what do you guys as an organization from an expectation standpoint hope to see from him, at least coming off that injury?
Well, first of all, I mean, our expectations aren't very high because he is coming off a fairly serious injury for a basketball player. He's been cleared to play, but we don't think he's, ready to play an NBA season just yet. And he's still got some work to do up until the start of a training camp. And also, the injury that he had, it takes more than just 1 year of rehab for him to get back to where he was. The expectations are he will be able to play. The expectations are that hopefully he will get to where he was, but we understand that it will not be in October or November at the start of the NBA season. It's still a process for him to go through. A similar instance, Jabari Parker had a series, same injury, ACL, and he did not play extremely well at the beginning of the year, but he got better as the year went on. And that's kind of what we expect with Dante.
Hence the move that you cannot speak of that in all likelihood occurred today. Well, congratulations on that particular move, if indeed that move does become official. And good luck tomorrow night. We'll catch up with you soon. Thanks, Walt.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you on the board. That's Walt Perrin, Director of Player Personnel. That interview, I couldn't ask him about the trade. He can't talk about the trade. You heard him giggle. It's a done deal, but the Jazz haven't made, the league probably has to give it its blessing. That's whenever trades come down, things like that, three-team deals, you have to get the league approval on it, and teams don't make things official, and guys like Walt Perrin and Dennis Lindsay and Quinn Snyder don't talk about those things till the league gives its blessing because they don't want to look foolish if something hangs it up. But we all know.